Most quickly, we're going to get into the message immediately. Say with me, the signs of salvation. So last week we spoke a little bit about, and we'll put these two messages together, make it one message. I'll ask the editors to do that for afterwards sake. We spoke about prevenient grace, sanctifying grace. We spoke about glorifying grace. We spoke about the evidences that there must be that we are saved. Are you guys with me? Matthew 7 verse 21 says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father." So not everyone will enter heaven, that's very common sense, but he who does the will of God. So there's a lot of things, and I can open up that verse, but I need a bit more time, and we're trying to figure out how we can get more time on these things. But we that verse must be opened up because there's a lot of emphasizing words in that verse that needs to be focused on. But let's, for example, just focus on Lord, Lord. You send me Lord, Lord, and you have not done the will of my Father, so you will not enter. I never knew you. You will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Say with me, never knew you. So Jesus doesn't say, I once knew you and now I don't. He said, right from the beginning, I never knew you. Meaning that your salvation was false, or your conversion was emotional, or something wasn't happening, but I never knew you to begin with. Because at the moment of salvation is the moment of birth. It is the moment of being born again with an incorruptible seed. Are you guys with me? Are you guys with me? So when you are born, the Bible says that He sends the Spirit of His dear Son into us. So He knows us, and He doesn't withdraw His Spirit from us. So if He knew these people once, He would have said, I once knew you, but now I don't know you. And it would change the whole doctrine. But He said, I never knew you. Meaning that there are people in the church, and there's usually an estimation that 50% of the church does not know God, and God does not know them. Are you guys with me? 50% maybe sitting here does not know God, or God does not know them. What do I mean by that? They only know Him in profession, not in practice. They can only know Him in name only, in profession. They are a professing Christian. They come to church, they raise their hands, they pray, they do everything. But the Spirit does not bear witness in their hearts that they are children of God, or they are not fruits or evidences to say that their salvation is genuine. Are you guys with me? Are you guys with me? Now listen to me. Now, number one, what is the first evidence? Say with you, fruit. We've done on that last week. I'm not going to carry on. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit, is the character of Christ, and is the fruit of productivity. What is the second evidence? I said to you last week, a desire to stop sinning. Are you guys with me? A desire to stop sinning. 1 John 3 verse 9 says, whoever is born of God, just put it up quickly for me, guys. Whoever is born of God does not commit sin. Oh, sorry, does not sin. Yeah, put in the King James for me, please. Put in the King James. Whoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot. Wait, read it like this. Say, I am born of God. I do not sin, for His seed remains in me, and I cannot sin because I am born of God. How many of you believe that you are born again? Now, why do we sin and battle and say, I am a sinner here? Listen, you are no longer a sinner. You are a saint. Are you guys with me? This talk of I am a sinner and we are a sinner. No. He changed you into a new creation. All things have passed away. All things have become new. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. And those in Christ have become a new creation, a kainos creation, which means the old has passed away and the new has come. You are not an improved version. You are a new version. Completely new. Are you guys with me? This is the gospel and this is the good news. This is the truly too good to be true news. A pastor from Durban contacted us. Have your seats. A pastor from Durban contacted us and said, how dare you preach this This once saved, always saved. You must pray. If you don't pray, you are in sin. My brother, you are only saved for a year or two. You're religious. For you, yes. Because you'll be sinning every day. I even know what sin you're doing. Pastor from Durban. So before doing it, just think before sending such foolish, stupid messages to a prophet or to one of our people saying, I'm preaching false doctrine. You're very sure of yourself. Your church isn't even a year old. You know, one thing I learned from a young age is to keep my mouth. If I don't know something, it might be because I don't understand it yet. Especially when it comes to grace. Do you know grace is because you understand God at a higher level than others do who are legalistic? Once you have a revelation of grace, you are closer to God. You can have employees in a workplace. One has to do things by obligation and out of work and out of performance. But then you can have other employees in a workplace that can be friends to the boss. Which one is more difficult to fire? Are you guys with me? So it is in the kingdom of God. Not that you can get fired. I'm just using an analogy. The closer you get to the Father, the more you commit, you understand His grace. I made a statement last night on Facebook. I said, you know, if you live in the grace of God, you might accidentally be more holier than what you did before you understood that and you tried to be holy on purpose. You'll be more holier accidentally when you're in the grace of God, when you understand His grace. Grace doesn't empower sin. Grace doesn't license sin. Grace has dominion over sin. That's what my Bible says. Romans 6 verse 18 or 14 or somewhere there. That grace has dominion over sin. Are you guys with me? So I'll have a desire to stop sinning. If you're sitting here and you have no desire to stop sinning, meaning you can go and get it on, whether it is with whatever, and there's just no voice speaking to you, you might question your salvation. Are you guys with me? I'm not speaking of moral law that just as a child you have a conscience and that conscience will speak to you. I'm not speaking of that. I'm speaking of there's just no like, you're not thinking of God in that regard. Is that okay? And I told you the two meanings. This is in last week's service that they'll patch it together and make it one. What it means to habitually sin or that you cannot at sin is actually not sin to you. And people, I got so many messages, people like don't understand that stuff. We have to write a whole new Bible school after this type of revelation. The third evidence, when a person is really saved, they are a new creature, a new creation. So with a new creation, 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. If they have become new, God is not going to make them old again. And if there's old things there that is not new, if you can see that that this person has no desire for the things of this world anymore, I'm not saying they're not doing it. I'm saying they have no desire for it. It is a sign that they are saved. It is evidence that they have saved. If a person has never had this grieving over all things that are still in their life, it is a big sign that they are not saved. Is it okay? I'm just teaching a little bit theological. We'll get back to the prophetic things by next week probably or so. Prophetic teaching. I'm giving theological teachings, but is it okay? When a person is really born again, listen to this. They will love the brethren and the family of God. I'm going to say it again. When a person is really born again, really saved, they will love the people of God. 1 John 3 verse 14. We know that we have passed. So he says, by this we know that we have passed from death unto life. Because we love the brethren. He that does not love his brother abideth in death. So he says, if you don't have a love for the family of God, death is still in you. And I don't even let me start on the subject of life and death. Are you guys with me? Before I can preach certain things, I have to wait 3 years. I have to wait for our projects to be done, for us to have our own place. Then I'll begin to throw out heavy revelation. Because if I do it now, people are going to run away. We're going to get no funding. We're going to get no finances. They're going to say we are cults. So now I'm waiting for a certain time so that the moment you own something, God's glory gets poured out in a greater way. And I want to encourage businessmen here, or anybody, businessmen, the moment we make the announcement, you can even start now already, but the moment, people have already started now, just to let you know, but the moment we make the announcement to, you know, we're going to make calls and we're going to ask for people, even those who can give 4 million to give 4 million, those who can give 1 million to give 1 million, but to make a pledge and make a vow before the Lord. If you don't have the money to make a vow and a pledge, if you do have the money to give it, but you know, you're going to see something amazing happen. You're going to really see something amazing happen. And it'll be here on an altar here in the back. This is what the Lord told me about a year ago already. And it'll stay there, meaning the vows or the pledges or the proof of payments or whatever it is. And that we can see a thing built for the glory of God that is going to go global. It's going to have many hidden facets in it. That's going to cause it to go global. You will see many people flying in from nations to come and hear the voice of God here. Are you guys with me? And I trust that the wave of glory will come in to cause people's hearts to give in such a radical way, not in a self-preservation way, but where they say, I sacrifice this, I just give it. I sacrifice it, I just give it. And I sacrifice, you know, when you give, it's one thing to give what you can afford. It's another thing to give where you give everything into a thing like this. And the Lord will bless you. The Bible says none of them lacked anything when they did this. And I believe that is going to come and sweep into this place. I know we have a lot of people online that is being stirred and that is going to give. And you can ask immediately. My moderators will get back to you. But you can even get all the giving details. Always you can give into our giving details. Don't listen to anybody in the comments, please. That might be some scamsters. So if you want to give big amounts, please make contact with our offices. Please. Okay. I don't need somebody to give $1 million to some Nigerian 419 scam or something. So you will love the family of God. Say, love the family of God. Jesus says, woman, behold your son. And he said, John, behold your disciple. He said to his disciple, John, behold your mother. You have entered into a new family. When I just got saved, I loved the family of God. Everything in me just wanted to be at church. And I've never lost that feeling. That is a feeling to show that I've passed from death to life. It is a scriptural sign that I've passed from death to life. If you like to hang out with your sinner friends more than what you like to hang out with the church, it means you have not passed from death to life. I've just said it with you. The scripture says, by this we know that we have passed from death to life. Are you guys with me? Point number five, evidence number five. When you are really saved, the Spirit of God bears witness within our spirit that we are the sons of God. Right now, the Holy Ghost will bear witness in your spirit to say that heaven is your destination. If he does not bear witness, it means that there is not salvation. God knows who are his. Romans 8 verse 16 says, the Spirit itself bears witness within our spirit that we are the children of God. Are you guys with me? How do I know that I'm a child of God? I know that I'm a child of God by his Holy Spirit continually telling me, heaven is your home. I don't make it up as a thought. It is there. It is a presence. It is a knowing. It is called the assurance of salvation. it is being eternally sealed by the blood of Jesus Christ until the day of his redemption. Of our redemption. Are you guys with me? It is having that sealing. It is the Holy Spirit that is sealed in me. And God cannot take him out. The Bible says he will never leave you nor forsake you. You cannot go to hell because his spirit cannot go to hell. He has sealed you with an eternal seal that heaven is your home. But you have to make sure you are genuinely saved. That is why I'm preaching today's message. Because we have a lot of unsaved Christians. So what do I believe? Do I believe once saved, always saved? No, I don't believe that. I believe truly saved, always saved. I'm going to say it again. I don't believe once saved, always saved. I believe truly saved, always saved. And if you want to go to hell and you're upset with this doctrine, Jesus is around the corner. AFM is there. I don't know what else. NG is apparently up here. Actually, they also preach that doctrine, so you have to go somewhere else. They preached it in a more Calvinistic way. So you didn't know that? And I want to make this clear for the recording. We are not Calvinists. Calvinist requires of 5 points. I'll teach on it, but it's not for a Sunday. It's called TULIP. Okay, there's a total depravity of man. It's the unconditional grace. I'm not sure if somebody can help me. It is the something. It is the irresistible grace. And then it is the perseverance of the saints, the fifth one. The perseverance of the saints is what we believe in, that when God saves us, he keeps us. He perseveres us. We don't have to endure. He endures us. That's what we believe. So it's a 1 point, but we are not Calvinism. Yeah, it means total depravity, unconditional election, limited atonement, irresistible grace. All those areas we disagree with, because that's to Calvinism. And it means something totally different to their doctrine that is not biblical. But they have one last point called the perseverance of the saints that we do believe in. So if there's anything you say like, I'm a 1 point Calvinist, just 1 point for theologians to understand. And when you say 1 point, they know exactly you mean, okay, you believe the perseverance of the saints, because that's very scriptural. And I don't work for my salvation. So are you guys with me? I also don't work to keep it, but there will be good works that will automatically come. If grace has had its work in you, there must be automatic good works. That is what I'm saying right now, if it is not there. So the Spirit bears witness in us that we are the children of God. Number six, when a person is really saved, he has a willingness, say with you, willingness, to obey Jesus' commands, meaning he would read the Bible and in him he would want to do what Jesus is saying. Are you guys with me? John 14 verse 23 says, Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my words and my Father will love him. And we will come to make him our home, make him and make our home with him. We'll come to him and make our home with him. So he says, how will we be in him when he does our commandments, but it's not by works. It is that once we are saved, there is a willingness to obey what the scripture says. So if you're called in by your pastor and we're saying this, the Bible is saying 1, 2, 3, and there's no desire in you to do it, I question your salvation. And I'll rather first deal with your heart and say, listen, I think you need to be led to the Lord. Because listen, many religious spirits will make you sit in the church, even here, and you'll sit like this. And that you won't receive one word I say. It's a religious spirit. It's doctrines of demons, traditions of men, trauma, all those things which blocks the word from getting into you. Spirit birds that stakes the words, or the word gets preached and you get excited, but then the anxieties of this world take and strangles the word of God out of your life, which means it never takes root. So there's two problems with preaching and salvation. The one is that the person who understands it has a soil of the heart that is not cultivated correctly, and they cannot receive the word with joy. And then there's another part where the preacher is not presenting the message correctly. Are you guys with me? So Point number seven, evidence number seven. When a person is really saved, they have an immediate desire to do the will of God. The moment you are saved, you will have a desire, a deep desire, to do the will of God. Are you guys with me? To do the will of God. Paul, the Bible says when Paul was knocked off his, was knocked down, the Bible says, so he trembled and astonished and he said, Lord, what do you want me to do? He said, Lord, who are you? Number one. And then he said, what do you want me to do? The first desire you will have of the salvation is to know what God wants you to do. If you are a Christian and you have no desire for the will of God, it might be that you are not a real Christian. Are you guys with me? And if you're not a real Christian, Matthew chapter number 7, verse 21 applies for you. Where you'll come into me and you'll say, Lord, Lord, we have done this. I've attended Encounter Church. Lord, Lord, I've done this. I've even run an e-group. And the Lord will say, but I never knew you. Not because you're working or not work, they didn't do certain works. No. You never came to true salvation. My spirit was not sent into you. The spirit of my dear son was not sent into you. Salvation didn't do its full work in you. That is why you're gallivanting out in the world as if nothing happened. You came and you gave your heart to the Lord, but you're just out there and you're doing your own thing. Now, if you're out there and you're doing your own thing and you have this voice of conviction in you, it is a sign that you're saved. Are you guys with me? If you're saved, you will never, you can run as far as you want. You will just be a miserable person because you will know that you've tasted something better at a time. I'm telling you. Now, the eighth sign, evidence of salvation, is, which is probably the strongest one, say with me, the discipline of the Lord. This is probably the greatest sign when it comes to being a child of God. The discipline of God. Hebrews 12 verse 7. Let's go Hebrews 12 verse 7. I could really prophesy a lot, but I think what we'll do is next week, it is next week our birthday, the church's birthday. I'm going to release a prophetic message for the year next week and for the church, and then we'll prophesy over a lot of people. We'll just do it a service like that. And I think it'll be a great day. Morning and evening is going to be very powerful. Don't miss the morning and evening. Celebrate with us. If you're part of Encounter, if you're part of Encounter, fly in wherever you are. Come up, come and join. The discipline of the Lord is one of the greatest signs that you're really a child of God. Hebrews 12, verse 7 to 8 says, if you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chastens not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, are you all not bastards and not sons? He says, so 50% sitting in the church, I'm speaking about normal statistics, maybe not an Encounter, but I'm sure there's quite a few that are sitting here that are not children of God. You think you're saved, but you are not saved. That means you are bastards. Illegitimate. Are you guys with me? Illegitimate, because God disciplines. Now listen, so where does this once saved, always saved, how they give a license to sin? No. Your sin will catch you out. It might not send me to hell, but the discipline of God will come upon me if I live a life of sin. And then what happens is God gives me a hiding, and then I begin to lose certain blessings because I live a life of just being a mess. How many of you know if you have a child? Listen, you must see the relationship with God as a child with an earthly father. Are you guys with me? If your child is naughty all the time, you're taking certain things away from them. So God takes blessings away from a person. It's called the discipline of God. Now there are many levels of discipline. He can take blessings away. He can take favor away. He can take his presence and his glory away. That you no longer have that hunger for him and you're wondering why, God, it feels like you're so far away. The hand of discipline is upon your life. That's why. Because you're not doing something that you're supposed to be doing. Are you guys with me? And God does it because he's a loving father. Because he wants to get you back into the will of God for your life. You will live, and if you carry on, you will live a miserable life. It can get so bad that there'll be a loss of finances, then there'll be a loss of health. even to the point of death. Because there's two things. Sin kills. The consequences of sin, the wages of sin is death. So death has to come in. But then there's another way of discipline where the Lord actually takes someone's life. And we think, how cruel is God because He kills them. No, 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 He just puts them to sleep. God doesn't kill anyone. There's another dimension. You're not dead when you die here. You're very much alive in another world. Are you guys with me? There's another life out there. Another life beyond this life. So for what we see as being killed by God, God is saying, I'm just switching you over into another realm because you're messing up in this realm. He did it with Ananias and Sapphira in the New Testament. He did it with Herod in the New Testament. Are you guys with me? So that is the most severe point of discipline. This happens usually with ministers who are in sin. A lot of ministers who are in sin or they're out of the will of God, God will take them so they don't cause more damage for the kingdom. And they'll be taken before their time. Are you guys with me? So the devil didn't kill them. The family says, oh, the devil took his life. No, good. Devil didn't take his life. God took his life. Because God loves him. And he knew there was going to be a national scandal if something was going to carry on. Are you guys with me? So discipline. Say with me, discipline. So discipline is one of the greatest signs to know that you are a child of God. Now let me close with this. Give me 5 more minutes. How do I know I am saved? And why should we have this assurance of salvation? Go 1 John 5:13. Because people are like, okay, but why must I know? Well, if you don't know, you want to know this. I don't know how people don't want to have the assurance of their salvation. How they leave the church. Okay, we only had one couple leaving the church, not more, only one. One couple leaving the church, not sure if it was for that or not, but while I was preaching the message, they left the church. So obviously it was for that. Maybe these people want to go to hell. Are you guys with me? And but it's not that. It's because they got brought up in a very religious church. So, you know, religion and wrong doctrine can brainwash you so bad that you would fight what I'm saying. And you would fight and hold on to something that is completely wrong because of religion. And Jesus never fought politicians or the governments or the New World Order. He never even fought Satan. He fought the traditions of men, the religious system, the mindsets of the previous order, all the time. The Bible says that Satan was defeated, dethroned, and destroyed upon the cross, meaning that the war is over. Yet the church is fighting an enemy that doesn't exist. Am I saying there's no such thing as demons? Of course there is. But it is people whose minds are not renewed. Are you guys with me? Watch a church. You'll check a church can have a lot of manifestations. And then you can check a church that doesn't have a lot of manifestations. Let's, for example, say we're here in Centurion. Apostle Daniel was here. There was maybe a handful of manifestations. Why? Because you're getting the word in. It's the lack of knowledge that destroys people. When people get the word in, trust me, they get delivered. If it is the right words. Because demons come in through the mind. It's the spiritual portal. Through the mind they come in. Are you guys with me? They don't come in through the mouth. You can go eat halal food or whatever food it is. Nothing is going to happen. You are a kainos creation, a kainos creature. You can even eat foods being offered up to idols because many of it has that you don't even know about. And the grace of God will cover you. You are not under the law. You serve a God that is much more powerful. So don't put your, it is those who think they can get a demon by doing that, that gets a demon. Because doubt is sin. And whatever is not of faith is sin. So when a church is healthy, you won't see a lot of demonic manifestations. Are you guys with me? When people are sure in their identity. Have you seen? When they're assured in their identity, when they know who they are in Christ. But then there are those who the law, where the law is preached, you will have manifestations left, right, and center. Because the law brings in demons, legalism. Are you guys with me? 1 John 5:13, let's put it up. I need to finish up. These things have I written to you, that believeth on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have, that you may know. Say it again. Say that you may know. Not that you may think, not that you may hope, that you may know that you have eternal life. And that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Come on, are you guys with me? So how do I fully know whether I have eternal life? I know I gave you 8 evidences or so, but I want to give you 3 things quickly. Number one, we base our assurance on the witness of the Holy Spirit. I read you the verse. Number one sign to fully be assured that you are saved. The Holy Ghost will bear witness in your spirit that you are a child of God. Are you guys with me? Number two, we base it on the Word. Say with you the words. Go 1 John 5:10. It is to what the Bible says. That's it. Not what man's opinion is. Not how I feel. Not how I think. Not how my emotions is. But what the Word says. My faith can only be in that. He that believeth on the Son of God hath witness in himself. Say, has witness in himself. He that believes the Son of God has the witness in himself. What witness? That the Spirit of God is witnessing to you. That you are a child of God. That heaven is your destination. That there has to be no fear ever. If you've given your life to the Lord, it doesn't matter what happens. You belong to Him. And He has the power to deliver you and to pull you out of anything. But you see, you cannot have that assurance if you are not genuinely saved. You cannot rejoice even now. Some are rejoicing because they are saved. Others cannot rejoice because they are doubting their salvation. You don't know yet whether Christ has died for you or not. You heard about it, but it's difficult to have that assurance. You're working too hard to get into heaven. Are you guys with me? You're working too hard to get into heaven. Work hard to advance the kingdom. Work hard to become rich. You don't have to work hard. Do you know how easy it is to... Oh, brother, but to the narrow gate and the wide... Shut up. It's the easiest thing to get into heaven. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ with your heart. You confess with your mouth. And that is it. No narrow path. No, come on. It's taken out of context. I have to open up a lot of those topics, but I'm going to do it online because people don't understand things and they're throwing, and there's messes with their minds. I know many will watch, listen to this. It's easy to get into heaven. They have made it difficult. Many have kept the key of knowledge away from you. They themselves have not entered and they've not allowed you to enter. They've said you must do 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3 to keep you in fear, to keep you tithing, to keep you in a church coming on a Sunday. It's called the westernized Christianity. Are you guys with me? Keep standing where you are, keep standing. What does the Bible say? It says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's it. That settles it. Let me read another one. John 5, 24. Let's put on John 5, 24. Say with me, I will have no judgment. Say it again. Say, I will have no judgment. In heaven. You will have a judgment on the earth, though. God judges sin. And listen to this. I will have no judgment in heaven. Very verily I say unto you, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me, he that has everlasting life and shall not... put on the New King James for me on this one. I need to read different translations to explain the best of the scripture. Listen to this. Most assuredly, say with him, most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word, how many of you have heard his word? And believes in him, how many of you believed in him? Who sent me has everlasting life. You have it. And you shall not come into judgment, but you have passed from death to life. Meaning there will be no judgment for your sins. There will be no judgment once you have accepted Jesus Christ. And that you can be assured of. That is the assurance of your salvation. The captain of our salvation, Jesus Christ. Come on. And this should bring joy. This should bring freedom. This should bring and remove the yoke from your life and the burden from your life and the condemnation from your life to know that he's the captain of my soul. Oh, say, I am assured salvation is mine. But now if you're in this place and you are not sure, right now is the best moment to make sure. This is the good news. This is how good it is that the moment you say, I don't have that witness in my heart. In fact, I just feel dead in my heart. I don't have many of those signs. I don't have. If you have one of those signs, not the end of the world, but a couple of those signs, Leon, that you mentioned, I don't have. I need to get this assurance. Maybe you're preaching and maybe I have done an altar call, but I don't have the assurance. When you're saved, you will have the assurance. So all you do, Pastor Mort is going to do an altar call and you just lift up your hand and they're going to pray for you that you can have the assurance and you take the faith of this message and there's prevenient grace available right now where you can reach out and you can receive the assurance of your salvation, even online. Amen. Come on, let's raise our hands.